Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel. Welcome back, everyone, to the Mouse Ears Podcast. I am one of your wonderful, just glorious hosts, Brooks. And tonight we have just a plethora of knowledge here on the Mouse Ears Podcast. We have Steph. Hello, Steph.
Hello there.
And as you can tell, Kelton is not with us. I feel like it's a little cliche in Texas. He's at a rodeo tonight. But Kelton, we miss you. But with us on the Mouse Ears Podcast, we have Elise. Hello, Elise.
Hey, gang. How's everyone?
And we have Jennifer. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Hi. Nice to be here.
So it is Girls Night plus Brooks on the Mouse Ears Podcast. And we have a very fun episode planned. This was actually Kelton's baby. And we were really sad that he couldn't be on tonight for it. But thank you, Kelton, for all the hard work preparing for the podcast. But before we get into tonight's episode, I feel like one of everyone's favorite segment, new news. And for the new news, we are going to go down to the Flo Rida estate to Stephanie. Stephanie, take it away.
I hope I can do new news justice, because Brooks, you're always kicking out of the park every episode. but honestly, considering we have such a fun episode today that's going to require a lot of our time, I'm just going to try and get through the new news so we can get down to the nitty gritty. So awesome, awesome news out of Disney this week, or last week, depending on when you're listening to this. New ticket promos for both out-of-state and Florida residents for going to Walt Disney World, starting in April all the way through September. And that's for ticket deals for 4-day, 4-park, 3-day, 3-park, for both out-of-state and in-state. Now, what's really cool about this is last year in 2023, for out-of-state guests, they only had a 4-park, 4-day discounted ticket. So this time around, guests will be able to have the choice to just do 3 days and 3 parks if they wanted to. However, the only downside is it only includes tickets for Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom. Now, for Florida residents, you do have the Discover Disney ticket, and this is a returning favorite. You have for 3-day and for 4-day. You really do save a lot of money for this, so we always see some of the best deals, and we've talked about this before, during the summertime. So for all those people anxious to go to visit Disney World, April through September is a great, great time to take advantage of the promos that Disney roll out. But beyond that, some other fun news where Disney's concerned. Disneyland has been, or there have been plans to extend and expand Disneyland over in California. Not too much has been said, but enough that is making the Disney community very, very excited for the prospect. Disneyland Pixar Fest returns to Disneyland, California, April 26th through August 4th, 2024. So if there's any Pixar fans out there, you might want to check it out and probably book with an FTJ agent, preferably. National Geographic Expeditions announced new and returning private jet trips in 2025. If you've got, you know, how many hundred thousands of dollars laying around and you want to visit the world round, this is for you.
I mean, who doesn't?
Book with an FTJ agent. You're right, Brooks. And, you know, there's a lot of news, but this one's probably one of the biggest ones as well, with regards to tickets, or in comparison to the tickets released. Early booking for Disney Cruise Line summer of 2024 begin on the day that this episode drops.
Summer 2025.
Did I say 24?
You sure did,
sister. Oh my goodness. 2025. I'm
I would
so
just
sorry.
Stop like Brooks edited.
No, we're keeping that in so everyone knows the new news is not for the faint of heart.
I'm sweating here now. All right, I'm doing it over again. Ladies and gentlemen, early booking for DCL summer of 2025 begin on the day this episode drops, starting with Pearl Castaway Club members, then Platinum Castaway Club members and Golden Oak Club members on Tuesday, March 19th, Gold Castaway Club members on Wednesday, March 20th, Silver Castaway Club members on Thursday, March 21st, as well as Disney Vacation Club members and Adventure Insiders, and for the rest of the public, Friday, March 22nd. So I just wanted to put this out there that we had FTJ agent Laura Greco predict that the Fantasy would actually be going to Europe for 2025, and she was right. So you all heard it here first. Isn't that something? So anyways, that's the news for today. Take it away, Brooks.
And one other little bit of new news I would like to put out there. I know that everyone that listens to us knows how much of a NSYNC fan Kelton and I are. And just want to point out that the night before this recording on Wednesday, March the 13th, they had their reunion in Los Angeles at Justin Timberlake's concert. All members came out. They did like a 10-minute set. And now they just need to go on the world tour with Justin, and everyone's life can be just complete. And also his album drops tomorrow, so on the 15th. But that is it for the new news that we have. So you may be asking, what is tonight's episode all about? If you have not read the description when this episode drops, but we are doing a March Madness episode, restaurant edition. So like we say, Kelton worked on this. This was his baby. He was going to be the one that was going to be hosting. But when you're in Texas, you can't turn down a rodeo. So to channel my inner Kelton, I have the only cowboy hat that I have access to, which is glittery and will light up at some point. But he searched high and low, and we compiled a list of the top 32 table service restaurants at Walt Disney World. And just so everyone knows, there are a lot more than 32 restaurants, and this list could be considered some of the most sought after restaurants at this point in time. So as you know, on the Mouseiers podcast, we love all things food. So we are extremely excited to see which one will reign supreme in today's episode. So the way we're going to be doing this is Steph, Elise, and Jennifer are going to be deciding on the restaurants as we go down the bracket. And as a little fun twist, I have two instances throughout the entire decision process where I can lay down my decider vote. And if I very strongly disagree with you, I can change the vote.
The gavel.
So, oh my.
So that might be when
you need a tiebreaker. Potentially.
Well, with three people, then that's what initially it was going to be. Kelton was going to be the tiebreaker because it was going to be the four of us going through it. And then Kelton, if there was a tie, he was going to be the ultimate decider. But like I said, when you're in Texas, you cannot pass up a rodeo. So again, rule is simple. Elise, Steph, and Jen will voice which restaurant will advance to the next round. And the winner of the final round will be the champion of this year's March Madness Table Service Edition. We hope this will be an annual thing where we do a bracket every year for different maybe attractions one year, experiences.
Snacks,
yes.
I sign up for snacks here. So, volunteer to distribute.
And
we'll try them all too.
Yeah.
Whichever restaurant is crowned the champion, the next time, or basically the first time, the Mouse Ears podcast crew gets together in Walt Disney World, we will all dine at this restaurant.
And Elise and Jennifer are both obviously cordially invited.
We're honorary members.
I say every guest that is on this show is part of the Mouse Ears crew. So
love it.
Yeah.
Especially when food's involved.
Yes.
Yes.
So we are just going to jump right into round one of the bracket. So for round one, we have in our first matchup, Be Our Guest versus Cinderella's Royal Castle, Royal Table. Excuse me, already messing up here. So take it away. What are y'all thoughts on it? And what do y'all vote?
So something I want to just go ahead and clear the air with right away is that Be Our Guest is not a traditional character meal. So for your clients that say, my daughter loves Belle and we want to go to the castle and meet Belle and have her sign our autograph book, this is not the experience for that. So you need to know going into it, am I eating here because of the ambiance and the menu, or am I eating here because I'm here to get autographs from princesses? Because
or you're there to get the great stuff. Because it's delicious.
It is.
Don't believe me.
I will withhold my food vote until I hear from the others. But I did want to start us off with that is a very important distinction between these two castle restaurants.
Huge. No, you totally nailed it. I couldn't have said it better, honestly. Do you have anything to add to that, Jen?
I think that Be Our Guest, in terms of the aesthetics of it, is prettier. However, I do prefer having all the princesses, and I do like the food better at Cinderella's Royal Table.
Yeah. I vote Cinderella's Royal Table because, well, one, you're literally eating in the castle.
Yeah. It's
the icon of not just Magic Kingdom, but of Walt Disney World as a whole. And it doesn't really get better than that. You know, is it the best restaurant? Well, we'll decide that today. But when it comes down to Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table, I just feel like the immersiveness is just a little bit different when it comes to Cinderella's Royal Table, like seeing all that stained glass all around you, you know, being able to have the option to potentially see Princess, where with Be Our Guest, you just kind of see Beast walk right past and just like, oh, I guess he was here. Yeah. I don't necessarily like that experience as much. My vote's for Cinderella's Royal Table.
Okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate here. I think Cinderella's Royal Table needs an aesthetics update. Mm-hmm. And I really like that filet and the French onion soup. I'm going to go with Be Our Guest just because of the aesthetic and because I like the menu better.
Fair?
Very fair. So I am not using my decider vote on this very first one. So Cinderella's Royal Castle. I keep saying Royal Castle. Royal Table moves on.
All right.
So on to the next matchup. We have the Battle of Coronado. We have Three Bridges versus Toledo. What do y'all think?
All right. You know, this one's actually really tough for me. I love Coronado so much. there's a lot in this hotel that I just think is wonderful. So sorry. I just choked on my own saliva. Wow.
I was going to say she got emotional about
it. I know. I was just thinking you love Coronado so much. You got choked up.
She took it to bodily fluids. I was going to keep it professional with the restaurant.
So sorry. So I love Toledo a lot. I promise I'm not getting emotional. Toledo, if I remember correctly, actually is Michelin rated. gosh, I can't talk anymore. I've tried the food at Toledo and it is unbelievable. The ambience is beautiful. It's at the very top of the Grand Destino Tower, so you also have the ability to look outside And it's off to the distance, if you time it correctly, you could see the fireworks at Hollywood Studios mm-hmm. and at Epcot. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is just awesome. Even if they don't pipe in the music, mm-hmm. It's just still like an ooh and an ah, and like you're, you know, indulging in wonderful food too. So Toledo, phenomenal. The ambiance is incredible. The food is incredible. The view. Now, Three Bridges. This is so underrated. You know, for anyone who has been to Coronado, this is the one that's on the lake. And if you haven't been, mm-hmm. it's the one on the lake. Yeah. You have to walk onto this bridge, and it's this beautiful location, all open. And it, we talked about it before we got on. It also offers the Sangria University as an extra activity in case you don't want to go to the parks and want to enjoy the, you know, the resort a little bit more, whether you're a guest there or not. Mexican style food, just delicious. My only caveat about Three Bridges is that if it is summertime and it's very hot and humid, there's no escaping that. Mm. And that to me, like, this is like the perfect restaurant to go to at night to hang out, you know, eat appetizers, that kind of thing.
And it's a great stopover if you're staying back in the Ranchos, because it's kind of like you can leave the main lobby, go over there with friends, and then you're closer to your room whenever you end your evening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think they're both great options. But for me, Toledo takes the cake in this showdown. That's my vote. Yeah. Who's next?
I concur with that. I'm going to vote Toledo also.
I absolutely agree for all the same reasons.
And I did want to throw out there too, just because apparently my job tonight is to be the technical one. the Sangria University is available on select day. So that is not a daily occurrence. I believe it's Wednesdays and Saturdays. Is that
correct? Sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just, I've had clients who say they want to do a rest day on a Thursday and do Sangria University, and that's not an option. It's not a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
But a great option nonetheless.
Yeah.
If you're trying to plan a rest day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
All right. So Toledo moves on. So in our next matchup, we have the Battle of the Steakhouses. We have Shula's Steakhouse versus Yachtsman's Steakhouse. So who has the better steak?
Who wants to take this one? The vegan? I think
yeah.
should.
What the vegan take
Jen?
So as far as
so Jen, who has the better sides?
Sides wise, Yachtsman, and I really like anything that has to do with Yacht Club. I vegan. Think it's a very elegant resort, and so I would say. That would probably be my pick, but I'm going on the sides because I don't eat steak. So I'm curious to see what you guys think about it.
I mean, we'll be honest here. Jennifer and I stayed at Beach Club last month for our quick 30-hour trip, and we really regretted not having a table service reservation at Yachtsman. We talked about
yeah.
it. And especially with her having dietary restrictions, it's usually better for you if you have at least one or two table service reservations. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that was one that we kind of regretted not making just because we were so close with us being there at Beach Club.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Learned our lesson on that.
Yeah. I always am in awe when I do walk into like the Yachtsman Steakhouse area. It just has like this immersive feeling that you're, I don't want to say in a yacht because that doesn't sound right, but you feel like a nautical. It's dark. It's eerie. I get 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea vibes, which is not.
I feel the old money of it with the.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Like, but
it's a good place for celebrations that happen on your trip. Anniversary dinners, birthdays, yeah. that sort of thing.
It is. Kind of feel it's indulgent. A beautiful place. Yeah.
It's cool. It's different. I feel like there's really not that same atmosphere in a lot of different places mm-hmm. at Disney. I don't know. I like that place. Can't say I've eaten at Shula, so my vote's for Yachtsman.
All right. Sounds like Yachtsman's moving on. All right. So for our next matchup, we have Jayco versus Tiffin's.
Hmm.
Not everyone at once.
Okay. So Tiffins, for those that don't know, Tiffins is located in Animal Kingdom, next to one of my favorite places at Walt Disney World, which is Nomad's Lounge, a hidden gem for drinking. Tiffins is very, very well known for having exotic foods, and actually Geeko is too, right? I'd say so. They're not your typical menu, either options. And both always have raving reviews. I have not had the pleasure of sitting down and eating at either. I have had the appetizers from Tiffin's at Nomad's Lounge. And I can honestly say they're phenomenal. Phenomenal. Would I vote for Tiffin's? I don't know. I don't know, because I'm going to throw this over to Jen. I've heard, Jen, when you ate at Geeko's, you were like over the moon with it, and that your experience sways me more towards Geeko. But let us know. What do you think of these two locations?
Okay, so Geeko, hands down, the best food I've ever had at Disney. It was, and I let the chefs, because I have dietary, you know, issues, I told the chefs to just go and create whatever they wanted. So I might be a little bit skewed on it, because I really got spoiled when I did it. And they created some of the most imaginative, delicious food I've ever had at Disney. And their service was top notch. It was a restaurant that I always skipped over in favor of others. Even with clients, I really didn't have a lot of interest in clients, and now it's at the top of my recommendation list if they want something just really, really good.
It's your passion that makes me sway to Geeko's.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, like, they get very creative with their menus. And like I said, Geeko's and Tiffin's. Geeko more out of the box than Tiffin's, but I feel like you don't necessarily get your typical foods that you get. I mean, we've talked about it before. We're going to dive into a lot of steakhouses. You get a lot of seafood at Tiffin's, for instance. But yeah, I think I'd vote for Geeko just for the passion of which you speak about it, Jen.
I'm going to throw in that I think Disney is very proud of Geeko. Whenever we had our top producers dinner at the FTJ Summit back in 2023, that's where they chose to have our dinner at. And the menu they curated for our group was excellent. They were very receptive to dietary restrictions and even just food preferences. I personally ordered my filet without the chocolate sauce, because even though I'd like to think I'm an adventurous eater, I just didn't want a chocolate sauce on my filet. Sorry to the vegan in the group. And so the bread service was amazing. The food quality, it was just a really, really unique experience, a unique menu, but it still had enough familiar items that you could have an enjoyable experience with it. So I'm going to vote Geeko too, just because that's where I had one of my best on-property meals.
And I want to go there so bad now. But you're right, Jen. It's like one of those restaurants that I feel like people overlook, especially because it's not at the parks. Like Tiffin's, it's easily accessible if you're Animal Kingdom. Geeko is at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's one of the few resorts that only has bus transportation to it. That's it. Same with some of the values. So when you're a little bit more limited in that capacity, you're not just going to go there whenever, right?
I will say we paid for a minivan because we didn't want to be in heels and dresses getting on a Disney bus, riding a bus from Coronado to Animal Kingdom Park, and then getting on a bus from Animal Kingdom Park to Animal Kingdom Lodge. We did spring for a minivan since was in 4-inch heels.
Yeah.
Oh my God. With all that bouncing around otherwise, oh my gosh. Yeah. No, but that's definitely the way to go for something like this.
Yeah. I know. Whenever I wear my 5-inch heels, I'm just like minivan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Geeko takes the cake.
So Geeko moves on. So in our next matchup, we have, is it
Jaleo?
Jaleo. I wanted to say J-Lo from the block. Jaleo versus Sanaa. So
I'm going to start off. I love Sanaa. I had a great experience there. The bread service, again, something.
The bread service was.
It's great.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think I did the salmon when I went. I was staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I had a late arrival. And so I had like an 8:40 p.m. dinner reservation just because I didn't want to have to do a quick service. I wanted to be able to go in and sit down and have a nice meal. And I certainly got that at Sanaa.
Yeah, that would be my vote too. We stopped in just for the bread service and some cocktails, and it was really, really good.
I agree with Sanaa. Not that Jaleo doesn't have incredible food, and they have a phenomenal selection too. Jaleo is Spanish, like from Spain. Sanaa is more African. Also, the Sanaa is located in Animal Kingdom Lodge, where Jaleo is located in Disney Springs. And Sanaa has the beautiful view of their savanna that you can see from Animal Kingdom Lodge. So you're not just talking about phenomenal bread service. Once again, Disney, and specifically Animal Kingdom Lodge, just has this amazing just ambiance and feeling to what they're offering. I love bread while looking at the giraffes. Come on now. Say less. So I vote for Sanaa.
And the staff there was amazing too. Being able to talk to those cast members, you know, I talked to a few of them while I was there, kind of let them know I was there on business, you know, what could we recommend to our clients, that kind of thing. And they were just so kind and receptive.
We love that.
All right. So Sanaa bread service, moving on. So next up we have again Battle of the Disney Spring restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We have Boathouse versus Art Smith's Homecoming.
This one's tough.
Yeah.
This one is, I love both of them. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I really love Boathouse, but
Chef, you know, Art, what's really funny is I have a really funny memory with Boathouse. When I first got started as an agent, I had a client who was adamant. She wanted crab. She wanted to know where she can eat good crab on Disney property. I'm like, that's such a specific thing that unless you've really tried all places that offer seafood, or, you know, what places do you offer crab? And I remember reaching out into our Fairy Tale Journeys network and asking, does anyone know where you can get a good crab dish? And resounding answer was the crab cakes at Boathouse. Mm-hmm. And I do love a good crab cake, and I haven't had the opportunity to try it. I know it's on my list, and I keep hearing it over and over and over again that those crab cakes are just out of this world. But then I have done the Chef Art Smith's Homecoming brunch, which is also so hard to come across because it's always booked. And those of you that don't know, that chef used to be Oprah Winfrey's private chef before he came to, you know, Disney Springs. And Southern Kitchen, phenomenal. If you like your chicken and waffles, they got it.
Mm-hmm. The mac and cheese.
Honestly, one of the best coleslaws I've ever had. Not even joking.
I think we're about to get in the car and drive. I'm so hungry. And for those of you who are just listening and are not watching us on YouTube, I am Elise. I'm the agent from Tennessee, but I happen to be in the Fort Lauderdale area on spring break. And so I dropped in at Steph's house. So if you see some banter between us on YouTube, it's because normally we are not together and we're having a great time.
Yeah.
So on that note, you know, Art Smith, I think, takes the cake for me, mostly because I also think, taking into consideration menu-wise, I feel like it's going to reach more people, but also menu prices. Boathouse, phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I've heard nothing but great things. I haven't eaten there yet. Those prices are a little bit higher than Art Smith's Homecoming. So my vote goes to Homecoming for, heck, one, I had a great experience there. It's always sold out. Menu, I feel like it does have a lot of variety there that everyone could probably find something easily that they like.
picky eaters or non. And then, I mean, great sides, let's be real. And then again, the price point, I think, is just really on par with what they offer. So my vote's for Homecoming.
I have a quick story about how phenomenal Chef Art's Homecoming is. And it is that I had a multi-generational family trip booked. It was for the couple's 40th wedding anniversary, and they wanted a nice family meal that everyone would enjoy. And I happened to be at Disney at their 60 days out. And so I took a bus to Disney Springs. I walked up to Chef Art's and I made that reservation in person. It's the first time I've ever done that as an agent. But I explained to the hostess that this is this family coming in and this is going to be their 40th wedding anniversary. And I said, can I please get a table for 9? And she's like, oh, what time? And I said, 6:30. And she said, dinner service. And so we wiggled the time a little bit. And I got that table for them. And I called my client in Nebraska, of all places, to celebrate that I got them this table. Because like you said, it is so competitive to get a Chef Art's table. I love the food there. It's definitely my choice. And I love that story of being able to make that reservation in person, because I've never done that for a client before. But that restaurant earns that title.
Love it. That's awesome. Jen?
I am going to go with Boathouse. I had a great experience there. The food was phenomenal. So I am going, it was really nice and unexpected. And I was with some other agents and they made the reservation. I just kind of went along with what they said and it was phenomenal.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep Homecoming moving on. I'll be honest with you. I had the decider hat ready in case Boathouse won that one. I had the hat ready. All right. So moving on, we are going a little spacey, a little sci-fi here. We have Space 220 versus Sci-Fi Diner.
So, Jen, take it away. I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I'm on the spot. Okay. Due to all of my allergies and stuff, Space 220 is very, very difficult for me to actually experience the food the way that most people do. The atmosphere there is amazing. It is a very, very cool restaurant. Now, Sci-Fi is just kind of classic. Everyone wants Sci-Fi. Everyone wants to eat there. It's not a very big restaurant, so tables fill up fast. And then when you get there, everyone wants to sit in the cars. And just so you know, if you have a large party, odds are you'll be at tables and not in the actual cars. That's happened to us several times as a larger party when we're traveling with other people. I do not like the food, since they had their menu changed. I did not like the food as much at Sci-Fi. So I think they're equally cool, but I would lean more toward Space 220 just because, the experience of it. If I had to put the two experiences together, but I don't know food. I don't really like it either of them. One, because I can't really eat anything. And the other one, what I can eat isn't very good. So
I will acknowledge your menu change. They used to have a buffalo chicken salad that I loved.
And it that was one of my girls' favorite.
Oh, it was delicious homemade ranch. But coming from the budget conscious perspective, I'm a mom of 3 elementary school age children. And so for us, being able to go do a Sci-Fi sit down dinner for only a little more investment than doing a quick service, we like having that break. We like the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
Fried pickles. That's another reason to eat there. I eat there when I'm on my family trips. And I also, on even number years, do a girls trip with my cousin. And when we go to Disney World, we do Sci-Fi is our sit-down restaurant at Hollywood Studios. So I'm going to vote Sci-Fi, but I respect your Space 220 vote.
Yeah, I will say, though, this might sway a little bit. if you are vegan or if you just can't have dairy at all, Sci-Fi has a cookies and cream vegan milkshake, dairy-free milkshake, and it is amazing. It is amazing.
Wow, on the tiebreaker, this sucks. Okay, so I'm not going to hash over what was already mentioned because I agree with you, Jen. Space 220's environment is literally out of this world. It's gorgeous. It's so cool. Not just when you're sitting and eating there, but the experience getting to the restaurant. And I won't give any spoilers if you haven't been. So from the moment, you know, you reserve, it's a great experience, whether at your restaurant or at the lounge. Space 220 is just awesome. I've been at the lounge and have had drinks and appetizers there. Loved everything. Then again, I didn't have any restrictions. All the cast members there were incredible. Mm-hmm. They're experienced cast members. They have a little bit more liberty too there with what they offer, which is kind of cool. Because Space 220 is more of it's just different. It's not your typical cookie cutter restaurant.
Yeah.
Both in food option and in the experience, right? So, but because of that, the food options aren't really accessible for the whole family. Yes, they have basic stuff, but it's not, you know, you're paying a high ticket price. You're not really going to want to eat something like chicken tenders and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Sci-Fi, and both of these, for the record, always high in demand. Like Space 220, always sold out. It's very, very hard to get this dining reservation. Sci-Fi, also very in demand, mostly because of the vehicle experience. Kind of cool. You've got that diner feel, the, you know, the classic nostalgia. Oh, you're driving. Much more food friendly for kids and for picky eaters. And I feel like that makes it more inviting as well. I mean, burgers and milkshakes. That really does sound like a really good park day food. So, and as well, like it's just you get to pair that up with, you know, a dining package to go to Fantasmic. So it offers a lot more options that I feel like more people would want to take advantage of. So I really want to lean towards Sci-Fi because I know it's what clients love a lot.
Yeah.
But for my personal experience, I just really liked Space 220. Yeah.
Brooks, are you bringing in the hat?
I really like Space 220. Like, I love things outer space. Like, it's just cool. It's different.
And I have to say, if you can't do, like, the full menu, you can go and just sit at the bar and still have a drink.
Not and some time.
And you can, you know, not have the full menu and the full price tag of it.
Who doesn't want sparkly drinks?
Right? <Just kidding. laughs> They are out of this world.
Thank you. I'm not the only one.
So, Space 220's moving on.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Elise. I still love
Elise,
you.
Elise, I have to be very selective with my deciders.
And honestly, this is a hard one for
me.
We're
nearly done with the entire left side of the bracket.
We have the whole right side and then the rounds after that. So,
well, luckily at that, after we get through the two sides, we've already broken down a lot of like each of the restaurants. So we'll be as slow.
I based that one off of which one I want to eat at more. And Space 220 was over Sci-Fi.
Don't get me wrong. I really want the milkshakes at Sci-Fi. Like, I would crush a milkshake right now.
Elise, we'll go there on our next 30-hour trip.
Okay, thank you.
Elise, I will go to Sci-Fi with you, but the menu change. Yeah.
They don't have the falafel anymore. I'm very sad. It's an impossible burger, and I can get that anywhere.
I said very basic, very accessible to everyone.
So moving on. So for the last matchup for the left side of the bracket, we have the Battle of the Countries, the Battle of Epcot. Via Napoli versus Chef de France. Wee-wee.
This one's easy for me.
Ooh.
I vote Chef de France. Don't hate me. I just love that I can be able to people watch at Chef de France. That alone is enough. I don't eat, like, I almost feel like it wouldn't even matter what I'm eating, but just, like, to be in that, like, enclosed area with the windows and just, like, oh, my God, just, and not in a bad way, just, it's fun. It's very entertaining. That's a great atmosphere for me. So I vote for Chef de France because I also just, I do enjoy French food anyways.
I ate at Chef de France for our anniversary trip a few years ago, and I was very underwhelmed with the quality. And I hate to say that, but I'm going to go via Napoli because good standby, you know, authentic Italian. That's what I'm going to go with.
I don't blame you.
And our friend Susan Abel's beloved strawberry limoncello slush is there. So
she loves those.
I need to try that one. I always go for the Italian margarita. Delicious. Jen?
I'm with Elise on this one. That is one of my favorite places to eat in Epcot. So my choice is Via Napoli.
And the fact, too, I believe, don't they fly the water in from Italy to make it as authentic as possible for the pizzas, for their dough?
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
So, all right, we are done with the left side of the bracket, only 40 minutes into the episode. So, moving on to the right side of the bracket. Well, folks, that just about does it for part one of our first ever March Madness bracket episode. Don't forget to tune in this coming Wednesday for the conclusion of the episode and see which restaurant we choose as the best on Disney property. And lastly, don't forget to join our Mouseers podcast page on Facebook and our TikTok page for all the episode details. And if you're interested in having a Fairytale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneystravel.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we would love for you to leave us a review wherever you get your podcast needs. Until next episode, thanks everyone.